This is a two-part question, and this first part is 13 minutes, a little longer than normal. The question comes from a single woman in the church who has just graduated high school, and she asks in two parts. First, why is there instruction in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul to remain single? What would be the purpose of that? And the second part of that question is, what usefulness do single people have in the body of Christ and in the local church? So I answer the first part of this question on this file, and the second part of that question in another file.
The role of single women and single men in the church. Okay, there's two places I want to go. This was your question from like a year ago, right? All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians first, if I can find it. Yep. What do you do when you got a nice Bible and you can't see it anymore? How thick would this be if it had? I don't want it any. I can put this in the back pocket of my jeans, man. I had to start wearing a suit. That's it. There it is. Be like, I know. That's what my daughter keeps telling me. That's moved. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I believe. Yep, chapter 7. There's a couple of things I want to lead into. First of all, in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 25. It says, now concerning the betrothed. Now, let me give you the context of what's happening here, because there's this Greeks, Corinthians. There was no legal marriage. There's no legal marriage in Corinth. People just decide, we're a couple, we cohabitate, we bring our joint properties together, we do our own thing, but we're together. There was no husband-wife. It was unheard of. There was no writ of divorce, no writ of marriage. There was no license for marriage in Corinth. It was just you get together. So that's the people he's talking to here. Now what's happening is now they've got people who aren't married, but they live together because that's what the culture said to do. They don't understand it as live together. They consider themselves a family. So that's the culture. They're married by just showing up. Hey, wife! I mean, you know, I don't know how that worked, but they were equally invested in the mutual agreement of marriage, which was rare in this culture, especially in the Jewish culture. You were betrothed. You were given. So now all of a sudden you've got people who are unbelievers, who are pagans, who worship many gods. And one of them comes to faith in the gospel. And what Paul says is that now your marriage is sanctified. Because now you're actually in a marriage, not just a civil union. Now you are a Christian, so the confines of the boundaries of matrimony, according to Genesis chapter 2, evidenced and perfectly illustrated in Ephesians chapter 5, I say this refers to Christ and the church. The mystery is profound. So remember, apostolic authority defines Old Testament theology so that we don't, the Jews couldn't see it. We can't see it. Paul made it clear for us. So we go there, and he said, but you're the believer, so you stay. Don't leave the unbelieving spouse. But if the unbelieving spouse leaves, I don't be part of this Christian mess. He said, let them go. And he talks about slavery. He talks about people not seeking to be free, but living as they are. But if they get an opportunity to have their freedom, take it. If not, serve the Lord as a slave. And then he goes, now concerning the betrothed. I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, what is this? What's happening? What's the distress? Persecution. But I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. And here, notice what he said. It's not a command from the Lord. It's just me and my judgment. Huh? Oh, yeah. So in your current state of distress, what's the distress? I mean, you ever seen these end of the world movies and everything's blowing up and everything's going to heck in a handbasket and there's romance brewing? It doesn't happen. You know, everybody's dying and falling off cliffs and it's about to explode and they're going to take that last long kiss as they die together. That's bull. That's baloney. We don't have time to make out and get engaged and get married when the world's coming to an end. So, for all intents and purposes, in this first century city, the world was coming to an end for these people. Their lives as they knew it was over. People found out they were Christians. They didn't sell them anything. They didn't shop with them. They didn't deal with them. They didn't like talking to them. And eventually, Roman persecution came into the point where they would be arrested and driven out to be refugees out in the deserts. So Paul's saying, I'm not saying not follow through with your commitment, just understand what you're getting in. It'd be better if you just remained single. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. In other words, if you've got a wife, please don't leave her. Stay the way you are. Are you free from a wife? Don't seek a wife. I mean, think about it for a minute. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would love to spare you that. That's what he says. Now keep in mind, now listen, it ain't the end of the world for us. Life is easy in America. Life is good in the United States. It is good. It is easy peasy, cheesy wheezy all the time. Sunny river, lazy Susan down the, what do they call that thing? Lazy river. Lazy Susan is the thing that spins on the table. Lazy river. All right. Either way, if you're spinning on the table, lazy, easy peasy. So we're in that position, and even now, in that position, life is trouble. I want to spare you that. So stay single. But that's not the context. And keep in mind, it's not a command. He's saying this is probably wise. I mean, there have been times, and I'll just give you an example, where a brother in Cali, from Greenville, and he's one of the only people I know in the country who is actually on the ground witnessing and planting churches with indigenous, refugee, Islamic people in the United States. The only person I know to this date. And he was single for a long time. And a lot of that had to do with the fact he was in a position where nothing he does can be public. Nothing he does can be printed. Nothing he does is safe. And when he goes to Afghanistan with thousands and thousands and ten thousands of dollars strapped to his body like a drug dealer and Bibles hidden inside of his underwear and stuff like that, and if he gets caught, they're going to cut his head off, he's thinking to himself, I don't really need a wife in this kind of life. But lo and behold, out of the blue, a couple of years back, I'm getting married. And I thought, you have lied to her. But he told her about it, and she's all in. So they're all in together, and they've been to Kabul and taken their children in the line of fire as missionaries to Afghanistan. And it just, they're fine with it. They're fine with it. This is like your parents. You know, they're fine with it. I mean, I'm sure your dad, as Mike has told you all his stories, I mean, he readily just thinks he'll probably be buried on the beach over there. And he'll just celebrate seeing Jesus one day. And that's the life you have as a Christian in times of persecution. And when you're a missionary in a hostile ground, if you're not married, don't worry. Why is that somewhat wisdom? Even though it's not a command, why is it wise? Because let me tell you something. There could be 5,000 people in this room. And we all love each other. But if something explodes, where are you looking? You go grab the family. I mean, y'all going to grab each other. You're going to be looking for your kids. Jack's going to be like, I'm by myself tonight, but I'm out of here. You know, but if your grandbaby, your wife were here, you know, we'd have our eyes on these people. Because that's what happens. Because that's what's natural. That's what's required of us. We've got to take care of our family. And once we see they're safe, then we'll help everybody else along the way. But we're not going to see our kid over there about to die and go run over here and grab somebody else. We're going to always just instinctively grab over here. So if we're in this type of hostility and we're not bound to each other in marriage, then just stay like that because it'll be easier for you. Because otherwise you're going to have trouble. When people come and knock on your door to take you out of prison because you're a Christian and you're trying to sneak out the window, but you can't because you got a family you got to deal with, you're probably just going to go to jail trying to get them out of the house or to protect their lives or to worry about their lives. I mean, I think death is easy. I think having my children charted off on a train somewhere else beside me would be awful. You know, and I think that's sort of the mindset that Paul had there. But he goes on to say, this is what I mean, brothers, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they have no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, and the present form of this world is passing away. What's the point? I want you to be free from the anxieties of the pressures of decisions and things that you have to do, because in this present time, your life is short. And the purpose that you live with the little bit of time you've got right now is not to bed down and start a home, but it's to get up and go preach the gospel as long as you're breathing. And that's why it's so natural for us to pray that God would bring persecution, because it brings expansion of the gospel. As more and more suffer, grace extends to more and more people, which gives thanksgiving to God, is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. So that's a mindset that we need to understand. I have counseled a lot of people, a lot of young men, through the years who, in their mind, they're going to be single forever. What am I going to do? How am I going to find a wife? I'm going to put an ad on Facebook or something. I mean, and I told him, like I tell them all, I said, just be content where you are, and God will bring that person in your life in the midst of being obedient to what you're doing. That person will come. But if you go out hunting, God's going to let you find what you're looking for. And then you're going to end up being something. You're going to have anxiety. And you're going to have to live with the anxiety. And you're going to have to deal with it. Don't worry about it. And He don't want you to be worried about not divorcing, but He doesn't want you to be worried about the division of worrying, do I serve the Lord or do I serve my family? And as a pastor, and Jesse can already attest to this, what are you, 9 months in? Full time? I mean, you know, it's radically different when you're trying to serve the Lord than when you're just working in a job. It's still hard, but it's radically different because there's an exponentially aggressive spiritual warfare that takes place in the serving of the Lord, not just for pastors, but anybody who desires to live a godly life. It's just you know, and that's something that's a lot harder to do when you've got a family. But Paul did not command it. He said, this is probably wise for you. I don't personally hold to that. I just hold to the idea. Now, if things were bad, I mean, it's like, you know, we're running for our lives and digging holes, and Jacob's like, Dad, I think I want to get married. I'm like, son, you got better to do. Here's a shovel. I mean, we ain't got time for that. But in our day, I think if the Lord grants the gift of celibacy and singleness, which is a gift, and it's something that the church needs, because if we're single, man, can we do a lot for the Lord. I'm telling you, we can do a lot for the Lord. A lot. Why? Because I have no bride but Christ.
TheologyAnswers.com is a ministry of Grace Truth Church. You can find more about us on the web at gracetruth.org, a people for His glory, by His grace.